Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's lovely to come back to you. I think it was about a year ago that I came last time, and it's lovely to be with you again. And I was just saying to Richard beforehand that sometimes it's a real struggle kind of getting something together for a place, but I just felt that, I don't know whether you'd been praying for me or whether whatever, but I just felt God say, that's the one for Parsons Heath, which is handy when you're a preacher, because that's the worst bit, knowing what to say. We tend to, once we get started, have plenty to say, but it's nice to know what to say, so that's been good. Bring greetings from Pier Avenue Baptist Church in Clacton, where I live and I attend, so I'm sure they'll be thinking of us this morning. As I bring greetings from them. Brilliant. Okay, well, let's get cracking on what I feel that God wants me to share with you this morning. Find a place in my little book of words. I've been thinking a great deal lately about new things and this phrase that Jesus uses, new wineskins, mainly because it's taken me quite a long time since I retired to kind of get settled, because it's all been new, and all the things I expected to happen in my retirement have not happened, none of them. Everything's taken a different course, taken a different path, and I'm left with just after 3 years, just getting settled into, okay, well, maybe this is who I now am, and this is what life at the moment is all about. And a lot of that has been sort of like, as they say, on the hoof, trying to puzzle out who I am, what God wants, you know, what does life have to offer, etc. So that's been quite a journey, and often this whole business of, well, what is life really all about keeps cropping up, and you know, and where does God, or where, I was going to say, where does God fit into this? He doesn't, does he? Where do I fit in with what God's doing in these days? Many, many years ago, when our children were small, we only had two at that time, we've got three now, and we decided we would go out for the evening because my brother-in-law, who was a teenager then, was offered to babysit for us. So that was really novel for us in those days. So he babysat and we went out. Now, when we came back, the first thing we asked, of course, is, are the children okay? Because we've been worrying about them all evening. And he sat back in the sofa, yeah, no problem. But there has been a disaster. Well, what's that? No, nothing to do with the children. Your television's blown up. Oh. Well, tell me about it. He says, well, I was sitting there watching a programme, there's suddenly these two terrific bangs, and then you could hear the wires all burning inside. It's like they do. So I switched it off immediately. So, well, I smelt it. It didn't smell of burning or anything, so I switched the TV on, and it's working perfectly. So strange. Anyway, a thought came into my mind. Since we moved to that place, I decided that I would get into countryside wine. And in the cellar underneath where he was watching TV, there were several bottles of elderflower champagne that had been made with, it wasn't particularly strong, because you put the yeast in the bottles, put the top on the bottles, and then hoped that it would produce something. Well, it did. It was so good, that vintage, that it blew the corks out with a pop, and two or three of them had gone off. They'd hit the floor underneath where he was sitting, and then there was the fizz. So it sounded just like a television exploding, but it wasn't. It was new wine bursting out of its bottles. Funnily enough, that same brother-in-law, who's now married, got two daughters of his own, they moved to France several years ago. They now live in France. in the Cognac region. But we went there a few years ago, and it wasn't Cognac that we were sampling. It was, I sound like a real drinker, don't I? But it's this whole thing of wine, okay? This is the theme of the sermon. It's nothing to do with my drinking habits. And we happened to be there at Beaujolais Nouveau time, and apparently there's a Beaujolais Nouveau day when everyone celebrates the opening of the new wine, and it's young wine. It's still got a bit of sparkle, it's still got a bit of fizz, it's still got a bit of newness about it, and they can't wait for the day when you open the Beaujolais Nouveau. And my wife had oysters with it, but I couldn't brave that, so I just had a little sample of the Beaujolais Nouveau. But it was young and it was lively. Now, in this passage that we had read to us this morning, Jesus is confronted with a number of crusty diehards. You know, they don't like him calling Levi, the tax collector, into his company. They don't like him having a party or going to this big feast that's put on. They don't like him feasting rather than fasting. They're full of orthodoxy, but the one thing they're not full of is life. They're full of orthodoxy, but they're not full of life. And so Jesus gives them a few metaphors to think through. One of them is, well, it's not the well people who need a doctor, it's sick people. I haven't come to call respectable people to repent. I've come to call the outcasts into this wonderful kingdom of God. And then he, a bit later on, he talks about this new wine being put into new wineskins. And I want to think around that this morning for a few minutes. Because it seems to me that Jesus is hinting that the kingdom of God isn't a full-bodied, mature, vintage red wine that you can sit back and savour and say, well, that's good stuff. But it's actually a sparkling champagne that's bursting out of its bottle, that's wanting to be free, that's wanting to excite and exhilarate and do something quite amazing in those who imbibe it. Not that I'm suggesting that you should all rush out and buy a bottle of champagne after the service. I'm trying to get a message about the kingdom of God across here, not the message about wine. Walking with God is not safe. Walking with God is not predictable. Walking with God isn't something you do in an evening when you're settling down and you relax into your chair and you say, well, I've really studied this. Walking with God is very unpredictable, but it is exciting and it is adventurous, and it smacks more of champagne than it does of vintage red wine. And so Jesus speaks about, can I say, sparkling wine, when he talks about the kingdom of God. New wine that's fresh, that's got some life to it. Maybe not so much age to it, but it's got some life to it. And Jesus says, you put new wine in new wineskins. Now, have you noticed in the Bible how alive Jesus was? And sparkling wine is a metaphor for new life. The same as spring water in the Bible is a metaphor for new life, bursting up and bubbling up and rising up into eternal life. And Jesus was alive, wasn't he? Alive to his Father, so aware that all day, every day, was just walking with Father. He said once, you know, I see what Father's doing and I do it with him. That's my life. I just walk with Father and we do things together. He was alive to God in a wonderful way. He was alive to people as well, wasn't he? You know, we watched this program, GPs Behind Closed Doors. I don't know whether you see it, watch it, but some of the doctors, I get really mad and I say, look them in the eye, for goodness sake. They've got their head in the computer and the person's come in and they're really distressed about something. And I just say, you know, look them in the eye. What do we find Jesus doing? Always engaged with people. Looking them in the eye. Listening to their story. Understanding where they're coming from. Jesus is one of these people that when he walks in the room, you feel good. You feel like he's interested in you. You feel like he's not half dead, but he's very much alive. So he was alive to people as well as alive to Father. He was alive to the world around, wasn't he? Think of all the stories that Jesus told about fields and farms and people and rich people and poor people and destitute people, people who were sick. Stories about yeast and about pearls, and you could go on. There are so many of these stories that aren't spiritual stories. Although, of course, in our parlance, they've become spiritual stories. But when Jesus told them, they were a part of people's everyday life because he was alive to the things around about him. Jesus was full of joy, full of purpose, and as was mentioned earlier, full of trust as well, full of trust. Brilliant, isn't it? That's Jesus. He's alive. Now, I was ill over Easter this year. I think it must have been the first Easter I've never been to church on Easter Day. In fact, my wife was shocked. She said, you've never, ever missed church on an Easter morning. Well, I did that morning because I wasn't feeling too well and I decided I wasn't going to go. And I was kind of talking this over with God like you do. You know, I'm not going to church this morning, I'm sorry, but I feel rough and I'm not going, so tough, you know. I was kind of having a bit of conversation. And you know what I felt God say to me? Now, you can take this, you know, maybe it was just the ramblings of an old man, but this is what I felt God say to me. He said, no, don't have a glass of wine. What's his name? His card's marked. I felt God say to me, Jesus didn't rise to church. He rose to life. Jesus didn't rise to church. He rose to life. And I thought, that's great. I can have church in my heart today, or I can walk with the risen Jesus today. And it doesn't matter so much that I happen to miss church on Easter Sunday. But I did go along around about Easter time, and Sean, our pastor, who's a brilliant preacher, he always feeds me. Every week I get spiritually fed. He was talking about Lazarus. And he was saying about Lazarus, you know, coming out of the grave. And it just struck me afresh, you know, you can be resurrected but not free. Because when Lazarus came out of the tomb, he still got the grave clothes on. And Jesus says, untie him and let him loose. And you know, it's possible to kind of be resurrected into a new life, but to be a crusty old diehard. It's possible to be resurrected into a new life, but not to be exhibiting new life. But that isn't the ideal. Surely the ideal is to be resurrected to a new life, have the old grave clothes off, and live it to the full. People who've had near-death experiences or have had serious illnesses that could have been life-threatening, but they've overcome. One of the things they'll all say to you is, from now on, I live life to the full. Every moment is precious. I'm going to live it to the full. I'm going to take it every day as some special new gift from God. And surely that should be true of every resurrected Christian. Everyone who's been born again into the kingdom of God. Everyone who's experienced a new awakening into the kingdom of God. That we, of all people, ought to be waking up every day and saying, I'm going to live life to the full today. This is a new opportunity of just having something from God and I don't want to waste it. Now, I've got a few questions I want to ask you this morning. This is only point number one, so we better speed up a bit, but here's a few questions. Just on point number one, sparkling wine is a metaphor for life. Do we need to be untied and set free in any way? Do we need a new dose of life? Do we need a taste of the sparkling wine of the kingdom of God? Now, I'm always challenged by that. Nearly every day I'm challenged by that. Have I got life and life in all its fullness? I can remember coming home really tired to Stansted Airport after a holiday. And we just sat back in the back of the taxi and we're just relaxing. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning and we got up really early. And the guy says, "My wife's just left me." And suddenly I had to sort of like drag myself out of sleep. And for a moment I thought, I've got nothing to offer this guy. And that was such a challenge to me as a Christian. Have I got something to offer this taxi driver? Because this is the moment to wake up, not only wake up physically, but to wake up spiritually and actually have something to offer this guy. It was a bit of a challenge. I don't know whether I did offer him anything, but I certainly went home thinking, Graham, you need some new life and you need it seriously, because there are people out there in the world who need it. So sparkling wine is a metaphor for life. Let's speed up on the other two points. The second point is sparkling wine is a metaphor for mission, I believe. I believe it's a metaphor for mission because the whole thing about bubbly is you don't keep it in the bottle, you burst the cork and out it comes. And if you're like me when I take the cork out, I'm okay if I catch the cork. So I catch the cork, I hold it back on the top until it's died down a bit, but if you don't, it spills out of the bottle, doesn't it? And then of course I'm over enthusiastic about pouring it into this. I really sound like a real drinker, don't I? I'm over enthusiastic where I pour it into the glasses, and then it goes over the top and you either have to slurp it quickly or it goes all over the table. But you know, that's what the new wine of the kingdom should be like. It should be difficult to control and contain, and you know, and once you take the top off, it ought to be pouring out, it ought to be going all out into the community and into the world and running over the people around us, because that's what the kingdom is all about. It's about life, and it's about life that won't be contained. It spills out. It's like yeast that, you know, gets into the whole batch of dough. It's like a tiny mustard seed that grows into a great big tree. It's stuff that is contagious. And I pinched the phrase from, I forget the name, the guy's name, but it wasn't me anyway. To be a contagious Christian is a great thing, isn't it? To be a contagious Christian. Have you got it so bad that you're contagious? I hope so. I hope so. I hope it's contagious. You know, I love being with young people because I find them so refreshing. When I was a young minister, we were terrible, really. But you know, we had a man with arthritis, and he used to go, "Ultimate Ben." And then when we went home, I'm sure your minister doesn't talk about you like this. We used to go home and go, "Oh, Ultimate Ben! It's Ultimate Ben!" And now we get my wife suffers seriously from arthritis. We go, "Weren't we awful when we were young people?" But I'll tell you what, we were refreshing. When we left that first church, a lady said to me, the best compliment I've ever had as a minister, she said, "You've brought us a joyful Christianity." And I thought, well, if I've done that, I've done something good. We might not have been the most PC and the most empathetic and the most sympathetic people, but we, well, breath of fresh air. We brought hopefully we brought something a bit refreshing into the church. I love being with children as well because they're so wide-eyed and interested, aren't they? They're always interested in stuff. They want to find out about it, see how it works. You know, I can't wait for my little grandchild to get a bit older and I can show him all the wonders of whatever. But I've started doing that now and he's only two. Last week, we went to see him in Nottingham. And for the first time, they went away for a night. So we had him all one day, all night, and all the next day. We had a whale of a time. And hopefully so did he. But we certainly had a whale of a time. But, you know, they're disruptive, aren't they, babies? What a mess. You know, every morning, he'd get up and he's, everything in the toy box was out on the floor. So that the night we had to put it all back again. By the time his mum and dad came home, stuff was all over the place again. But you know, if you want new life, you've got to have babies. Yes. If you want new life, you've got to have babies. And sparkling wine is a metaphor for mission, because if we want new life, or if we've got new life, it's going to produce new babies. And new babies are messy. New babies don't do things the way we do things. Things are totally different. But you know, the kingdom of God is about new life. And it only thrives and survives on spiritual babies. It only survives and thrives on new babies. Do you know, however successful a church is, if there are no new Christians, 20 years on, you'll be 20 years out of date and you'll be 20 years older. We found that when we were in Nottingham. We had a wonderful time of blessing and new wine and new life and everything else. 20 years on, mind you, we did have over 100 baptisms there, so it wasn't that there weren't any new babies, but 20, 30 years on, we were saying, no, it could have only been 20 years on, I left after 21 years, we were saying, we're 20 years older, and we're 20 years out of date. See, the kingdom of God thrives on newness, on new people, on new life, and sparkling wine is a metaphor for mission. I got this quote through the through an email the other day. I thought this is absolutely brilliant, especially as I was thinking about coming here this morning. Concentrate on the church and you are likely to lose mission. Concentrate on mission and you are likely to find church. I've always found that to be true, you know. The most exciting people are new Christians. Those of us who already know it all, we already know it all. How boring. But new Christians keep popping up with things that totally startle you and challenge you and surprise you and make you work harder and maybe create a bit of new life in us, because that's how it works. You know, babies create new life in me. Children create new life in me. Young people make me laugh. But they keep me on my toes. My children, who are now sort of in their 30s and 40s, certainly do. They're always challenging me. Oh, Dad, for goodness sake, you don't still believe that. You don't still do that. You don't still think that. But it's good. It keeps me awake. It keeps me alive. My mind went back to Aslan in the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. After Aslan was resurrected, there were all these petrified statues that Jadis, the White Witch, had turned into stone. And he breathes on them. That was so great. Everything you said today fitted in with what I was about to say. It was just fantastic. He breathes on them. And as he breathes on them, it says like it's like paper. When you put a match to it, there's just a little tinge of flame around the edge. And then suddenly the flame began to spread. And these statues came to life, came back to colour, came back to just being resurrected people. Because Aslan, the resurrected lion, breathed on them. And that's why that's such a good prayer. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. What a wonderful prayer. And it is Richard, isn't it? I'm terrible with names. I'm saying, hey, is it Richard? Is it not Richard? Richard. All I told him, it was new wine and new wineskins. He didn't know anything about the breathing. And a lot of the other things that you put in this morning. That's when God brings the whole thing together. It's brilliant. Do we need a new love for people? You know, a new love for people out in the world. The last thing I ever wanted to do when I retired was to get into a church that got a social conscience. And then I go to Pier Avenue in Clacton. And I end up doing the soup run, and I end up a couple of Sunday evenings where people came in and Sean's trying to do one thing up the front and taking them to one side and spending time with people. But you know, I love them. They're people who need the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's been so challenging, but it's been so good to actually mix with people that I thought, well, now I'm retired, I won't need to mix with anymore. And for God to say, hey, these are people I love, these are people I care about, these are people I died for. But not just those people. I've joined a music group lately, and we've had some very interesting evenings where people have lost their rag and walked out and all sorts of things. But I love them. They're great. And there are opportunities every now and again just to say, well, actually, I was talking to Jesus the other day and he said, oh, you know, it's coming up to Easter and, you know, I want to play this song on my violin because it means a lot to me. And there's just little ways that I can hopefully share a little bit about Jesus with them. Do we need a new love for people? Do we need a new hunger for mission? And I don't mean the Victorian way of doing it, which is, we're here, you come, and you hear what we've got to say to you. And I probably don't mean the way that we did it in the 1980s, which was small groups and saying, come along to our small group. But somehow, it's having such a love for people and such a hunger for mission that we'll find a way of connecting and communicating in the way that Jesus did. I said to one of our soup run people the other day when they said, thank you for coming out onto the streets. I said, well, actually, Jesus spent more time on the streets than he ever spent in church. And he did. Excitement. It's exciting. It's scary, but it's exciting mixing with the non-religious. It's an adventure mixing with the non-religious. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It keeps me alive as a Christian anyway. It keeps my brain alive. It keeps my conscience alive. And it keeps my spirit alive. So new wine is a metaphor for new life. And new wine is a metaphor for mission. But what about these wineskins? What about these wineskins? Well, it only really came to me this morning. I was been struggling with this last section, not because I hadn't got enough to say, but because I got too much to say. But I think God gave me a key word this morning, because I was going to talk to you about champagne bottles being different to other bottles because they need to be stronger to contain it. And I just felt the Lord say, no, I didn't talk about champagne bottles. They weren't invented in my day. But wineskins were, and the one thing about a wineskin, a new wineskin for new wine, was that it was flexible. So maybe wineskins are a metaphor for flexibility. For flexibility. Oh, we don't like that word, do we? We're not good at being flexible. This is where the champagne bottle illustration fails. You see, they don't burst, they merely contain. Well, we hope they don't burst, not unless you put elderflower champagne in. But wineskins stretch to make room for fermentation. And it seems to me that that's what Jesus is saying to us. Well, if you're going to be kingdom people and you're going to have a taste of the kingdom new wine, then you've got to be prepared to stretch to make room for fermentation. You know, there are probably 100 ways that we need to be more flexible for a new generation. But I want to talk about two very briefly. The first is that I think we need to be flexible in our speech, finding new ways and new words and new expressions and new illustrations to share the same old gospel story. It's the same message, but it is totally baffling to people in the words that we usually use. I'm one of these people who spends most of the time when I see Christians doing things, particularly on telly, cringing. I hate it, you know. And there's these people who go and wear the dog collars on TV, and then, I'm not criticising people who wear dog collars. I wear one sometimes. But it's gobbledygook what comes out of their mouths. And somehow we need to be able to say it in a way that people understand. Getting hold of new idioms and new ideas and new words. And sometimes we'll need to abandon the old words because they're no longer PC or they're totally misunderstood and misrepresented. I used to be evangelical and I used to be an evangelist. But those are dirty words nowadays. So when people say to me, "Well, you're retired, what did you used to do?" I say, "Oh, I used to spread good news." We need to find new words. On the way here, I was thinking about the word on the street, which, of course, now is really old-fashioned. But it was a new translation of the Bible. I've got it on tape, so I thought I'd put it on. So I've got 25 minutes coming here, or half an hour, actually, it took me coming here, of listening to the Liberator going around and being the local GP to 5,000 people and all the ways that he describes Jesus. It was refreshing. I thought, this is it. You know, I need to, when I'm talking to my people in my music group, I need to use one language. When I'm doing Soup Run, I need to use another language. When I'm mixing with the kids in church, I need to use another language. There's one poor child, he's lying on the floor. The whole of the last family service. So at the end of the service, I got down on the floor with him. And I says to him, "Was that boring or was that boring?" And he says, "That was boring." So I said to him, "What can we do to make it a bit more lively?" I said, "Have you ever fancied playing an instrument?" He says, "Yeah, I'd love to play the drums." I says, "Well, we're going to have to get together and learn to play the drums. Then you can be part of the music group and you can play the drums and maybe it won't seem so boring." What are we doing? Boring the pants off children. When we could, you know, when we've got such great life to share and it's so full of stuff. It's so full of information. It's so full of stuff that they've never heard before. And if we can only find the right words to get it across, they'll get excited about it too. I've gone on too long, but I'm going to finish here. Apart from, I was walking through Clacton the other day. Now, if you walk through Clacton, and I'm sure that you get fed up with culture shops, you come to a really nice shopping centre like Clacton. One of the things that, I'll tell you what, we've got the emptiest beaches in the world, and they're fantastic. They're the most beautiful beaches. I went to the post office in Jaywick. I always go to Jaywick for my medicines and my post. And the medicines are going to be a few minutes, because there are hundreds of them. My wife's bag is about this big. So I went off on the beach. It was Saturday morning. The sun was shining, and I was the only person on the beach. And I went back to the shop and she says, "Oh, it's a shame, isn't it?" I said, "Why, it's a shame. My wife and I think it's great. We've got the whole beach to ourselves." She says, "It's a shame that people are too scared to come to Jaywick anymore." It's a lovely beach. It's great. Anyway, I was walking through Clacton. Everyone in Clacton wears tracky bottoms and tops. Everyone does. And there's a guy stood there in a suit with a tie. Well, he scared the living... He freaked me out. I was walking down the road, and I went, "Whoa!" like that. And as I went, "Whoa!" and walked past on the other side, there was some notice about it that he was sort of wanting to peddle religion to me. I didn't wait to see whether it was Christian or anything else. I just was freaked out by this guy in a suit. Do you know, we're not here to freak people out. We're here to rescue them. Of course, I've been moaning about the fact that Christians talk about being saved. And I say, no, we should talk about being rescued. And then I'm walking along Clacton Seafront and it says, "Not all are saved." So, what? So I had a look and it was RNLI, "Not all are saved." I thought, oh, well, okay. So maybe saved isn't out of the dictionary altogether. You know, we need to be flexible about new words, but we need to be flexible about new ways. Do we need to be more flexible? Do we need to find new expressions? Do we need to challenge our own attitudes and actions? And finally, I want to finish with a word of warning. This is a conclusion. You've had 3 points. This is the conclusion, okay? What I want to finish with is this. New wineskins do not make new wine. New wineskins do not make new wine. You know, I've been in churches long enough to know that churches spend thousands and thousands of pounds on turning their buildings around so that the people will come in, and the people don't come in. Churches, so many I've seen, have been upset by change for no reason, because change isn't going to do it. And when Jesus was talking about new wineskins, he wasn't saying go around and upset everyone and change everything because that will bring new wine, because it doesn't. And churches hype up the message, but that isn't going to bring new wine, just hyping up the message. Get new wine and all things will change. Get new wine and it'll either burst or it will stretch. And Jesus is just warning us that when you get the new wine, there are going to be changes. We are going to have to be flexible. We are going to have to think differently. We are going to have to talk differently. But the thinking differently and the talking differently and everything else doesn't come first. That comes at the end. What comes first is the new wine. That's why you had 2 points on new wine and only 1 point on wineskins. Let's get excited and thirsty for new wine. Let's get praying and expectant for new life. Let's spill the wine and share it with the non-religious on our doorsteps. Let's embrace new life with flexibility in thought, speech and action. Amen. Sorry, I've gone on a long time this morning, but I did get excited about coming here, see. Let's pray.